Hey everybody, I'm Allie Thompson, founder of Treasured Ministries, and welcome to the Treasured Ministries podcast, where we show you timeless biblical truths that will help to heal the soul. I want to talk to you today about God's strategy to solve the struggle of time management. Are you, like me, having trouble finding time to cultivate your calling, and it's leaving you frustrated? I mean, do you ever get to the end of the day and think, what did I do? I just don't feel accomplished. I know I was busy, but was I busy doing things that really mattered? It's the best feeling at the end of the day to know that you've invested your time wisely. And you know what? When we receive a calling from God, it can be very exciting, but then feel very overwhelming, because while we believe that we're called, we cannot seem to find time to do it. And if that's you, like it is me, I want to share with you what God showed me through the very first chapter in the Bible, inside of the creation story. Because inside of that scripture, I find God's strategy to solve the struggle of time management. And when we do that, we're able to soar. Because every goal that you have in your life requires more time. And managing our time is really where you find time, because time is a finite quantity. You only have 24 hours in a day, and once you've spent it, it's gone. So it's very valuable, and how you invest your time matters. It matters to God, and it matters to you, because at the end of your life, what you want is to look back and see that you were not just busy, but fruitful. And so today we're going to be looking at that. We're going to be talking about three different strategies to overcome overwhelming so that you can invest your time wisely and become all that you've created, God has created you to be. Now, my story is that I am a recovering workaholic, that I believe that my worth and value was inside of my work. And so working hard was very easy for me to do. Finding time to rest, to put work down at night, that was not. And when I would look back at my life, what I saw was that I was always very busy, but not necessarily fruitful. And there's a satisfaction inside of our soul that happens when we see the fruit inside of our life. And that's because God has called us to be not just busy, but fruitful. And that doesn't just come from hard work. Proverbs 21:5 says that good planning and hard work lead to prosperity. Well, inside of the creation story, we see that God is a creator, but we also see that he's a master strategist, that he had a plan when he created. And so we're going to look inside of that story to glean God's strategy for time management solution. All right, so you ready? Here we go. Now, the first thing that I want to say is that you are called to create by the Creator himself. And that's why you find yourself frustrated, because you get to the end of a day and you've been very busy, but you haven't really been cultivating what matters most. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, it says, "So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them." Then God blessed them, and he said, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it, reign over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and all the animals that scurry along the ground." Okay, the first point that I want you to see is that you're created in God's image, and God is a creator. And because we are created in his image, we are image bearers. And it doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect, but it means that God's plan for my life is to glorify him. And then one of the ways that I do that is to walk more and more in line with the truth about who he is. And one of the things that we see inside of God's character is that he created. You are called to create. And when you create, you are an image bearer. Number two, God also called us to bear fruit. He says in here to be fruitful and multiply. In John 16, it talks about when we abide, we bear fruit. And in Ephesians 2:10, it tells us that we were saved not by our good works, but that God has given us a good work to do, that he planned a long time ago to glorify him. God wants us to be prosperous inside of our purpose. Now, not a lot of people like that word prosperity. There, you know, people think, oh, whatever, it's talking about money. But really, what I see inside of prosperity is that I'm walking out in alignment with God's purpose in my life. And that means that you have enough to be able to give. And one of the enoughs that you need is more time. And so you must be a good steward of your time. So time is our most valuable commodity. And we know that we're called to a purpose. But we often find ourselves frustrated because we can't find time to cultivate our purpose. But what we see inside of the creation story is that for every problem, God has a solution, and his solutions are timeless. And inside of the creation story, we find the strategy for time management. So let me jump into the creation story. I'm not going to read every verse. And if you have grown up in church, then you're very familiar with the story. But basically, when God was creating the earth, he divided up the creation into 7 days. On day one, it says that he created light and darkness. On day two, sky and waters. Day three, land, sea, and vegetation. Day four, sun, moon, and stars. Day five, birds and fish. Day six, animals and humankind. And on day seven, he rested. And the Bible says this about the day that he rested in Genesis 2, verse 3. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when he rested from his work of creation. All right, so we see inside of this passage a couple of things. We see that God had a strategic plan. And we see that he planned with such strategy that each step built on the other. In other words, before there could be people and animals, there had to be plants. Before there could be plants, there had to be light. And so we see that God is not only creator, that God is a master strategist, and that planning was a part of his precision. Now, we also see inside of this passage, we see God working. One of the very first things that he does is that he establishes the day. It says that he creates the light and the darkness to establish day. And inside of our day, there's a rhythm that God creates. We also see with the day and the night, we also see a rhythm created inside of that week where God worked for 6 weeks and he rested on the 7th week. We also see that he established a daily assignment for each day. He focused on one thing. And so we see a weekly rhythm that God had. Now, also, not inside of this passage, but throughout Scripture, we see God establishing a rhythm and routine, even for in the yearly celebrations that he creates inside of the kingdom calendar. When Jesus established communion, he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." That periodically, God calls us to pause so that we can celebrate, but also to consider our lives and to consecrate them for the Lord. And so we see daily routines, we see weekly routines, and we see yearly routines. And these routines create a rhythm. They create God's rhythm for our lives. Now, we are creatures of habit. We, humankind, works through habit. Our brains use habits because it saves decision-making power. And so, for example, when you woke up this morning, you brushed your teeth. Nobody had to tell you to brush your teeth. You didn't make the decision to do it. It's just a part of your routine. And you made it a routine because there's a reward that you receive, right? Healthy teeth. And a dentist told you, and your parents probably helped you to get into this routine and habit of brushing your teeth. Well, just like you have a dentist, you have a divine God, and he wants to work with habits, creating those habits in your life that will make routine. Now, all of the habits that we work through, whether it's a yearly habit or schedule or weekly or daily, it all beats to a certain rhythm. Think about if you're a mom. I know that there is a rhythm to the school schedule, right? There's a back to school time. There's a winter break time. There's, you know, summertime. And so that is a rhythm that is a part of my life, right? And think about if you're a new mom, maybe, and you've just had a baby, and so the baby eats at certain times, and you have lunch at certain times. And so that establishes routine and pattern. It establishes a drumbeat in your life, a rhythm. If you have to go to work at a certain time, and you come home. And so there are these drumbeats in life that create these habits. I want to toss this idea out to you, that it is when you and I return to God's rhythm to build daily, weekly, and yearly routines, that it establishes consistent actions that will prosper our purpose. Because it's in cultivating what matters in your life, it is always done through consistency. And I think what happens is we'll have the best of intentions and we'll start something and we'll maybe do it one day, but we don't do it every day. Or maybe we'll do it one time, but we don't do it every week. And it is in the consistency that you will experience and find the room, find the time to cultivate your calling. Creating the consistency to cultivate your calling happens when you return to God's rhythm for your life to invest your time wisely. Now let's look inside. I want to talk to you about three areas: your daily rhythm, your weekly rhythm, and your yearly rhythm. So let's start with our daily rhythm. Now, the daily rhythm inside of Joshua 1:8, it says this, before the Israelites took the promised land, the very first instruction that God gave them was to set this daily rhythm. It says in Joshua 1:8, "Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do." And so God was essentially saying that the most powerful thing that you can do is not to grab your bow and arrow. It's not to create a battle strategy. It's to meditate on the word in the day and in the night. And there is a pattern that is set up with that. If we make it a priority to start our day, center our thoughts on the Lord by pulling into his presence to pray, and then ending our day with it, it establishes a consistency that fits in with our day so that we start our day with our thoughts focused in the right direction. And then at the end of the day, we return our thoughts to the right direction. Because see, all throughout the day, the enemy is going to be feeding you thoughts, right? And what he wants to do is he wants to wake you up and get you on your Facebook and wake you up and get you on your Instagram so that you'll feel less than or so whatever. Or he'll wake you up and he'll start you out thinking about that problem that you have in your life so that you can start your day, yes, meditating, but in worry, not on the Word of God. And what we think drives our actions. And the more that we align our thinking with God's truth, the more that our actions during the day will fall inside of that manner. It's not just hard work. It's also planning that led to their prosperity. And again, what was prosperity? It was success. What was success for the Israelites? It was establishing the promised land, being inside of their promised land. We all have a purpose, and our purpose is not about us. It's about helping other people, giving to other people, loving other people. And it happens. Yes, we will have to work hard, but we must establish that daily rhythm of that quiet time in the morning and at night. You see, Romans 12, 1 and 2 tells us that we need to renew our minds first, then we will understand God's will. And so Jesus says, stop trying to figure out your calling. Focus on me. And just let me give you direction for the day to take the next step and watch in the ways that your calling will end up finding you. The Bible says this in John chapter 16, that if we don't abide, we cannot bear fruit. And so it's that daily abiding in the morning and in the evening that we will bear fruit. Mark 1, 35 through 39 says that before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray, and that later Simon and the others went out to find him. And when they found him, they said, "Everybody's looking for you." I love that. But Jesus replied, "We must go to other towns as well, and I will preach to them. That is why I came." So he traveled throughout the region of Galilee, preaching to the synagogues and casting out demons. It was when Jesus got up early to pray that he found the direction in which they needed to travel. And the same is true for us. It gives us, when we give God our first fruits, we receive direction for our day. And that brings me, and that's important, because it helps us to live with focus. Prayer is like a filter. And when we apply that filter in the first of our day, we will be more efficient with our time. And by bringing God the first fruits of our time, by honoring him with the first moments of our day, we're basically saying to God, "I trust you with my time." And also with time, by giving God your first fruits, what we give to God, he can multiply. And so spending that time with God, and I know how it is. I know about quiet time guilt. I know about that. And I think that one of the biggest solutions to quiet time guilt is to change your goal. Because your goal is not to complete your study. Your goal is to connect with Jesus. And when we make that a consistent habit, and however we need to start, let's say you want to start 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes in the evening, whatever it is, start and know that God will meet you right there. Now, the other part about this daily quiet time is not only does it renew our mind, secure our thoughts, we abide, we bear fruit during the day, it also gives us that direction for daily focus. Now, I love inside of the creation story that God had a singular focus for each day. The first day, light and darkness. The second day, sky and waters. The third day, land, sea, and vegetation. And sometimes I think we get overwhelmed because we try to take on too much, where one of the most productive things that we can do is to pause and to pull back and to break down something into smaller steps, and then to pray and to ask God, Lord, what must get done today? What one thing do you want me to focus on today? Because if not, we might be busy but not fruitful. Studies show over and over again that multitasking in the end is not productive. It's when we ask God, what do I need to do today? And then we put that into practice that we find who, that we have that focused through that Holy Spirit filter, that we are able to end our day not accomplishing 10 things, but one or two things well. And if we accomplish what matters most, then we will not worry about the things that we didn't do. Now, listen to this verse, and this is in Matthew 6:34. It says, "So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." Today's trouble is enough for today. So inside of that scripture, one of the things that we see is that by not worrying about tomorrow, by just focusing on what we need to do today, that will help you to overcome overwhelm, right? And it'll help you to have that clear focus. Shalene Johnson is one of the things that she's created is something called the Push Journal. And one of her big tenets is to divide up your to-do list in what needs to get done today and what needs to get done for this week. And then every day you take pieces from this week and you put it on your today list. And you wouldn't think that that would be such a huge thing, but it's made a big difference in my life. And I think it goes back to this principle. It's not feeling like you need to get everything done, but taking the time to discern the most important things and giving those things your 100% focus. So consider breaking down your to-do list into today, this week, and then everything else goes on that. And understand that multitasking does not save you time. It doesn't. And when we pray, you know, don't worry about this big project that you've got to do. Just ask God for today, what it needs to be on my plate for today, and then you get that done. All right, so now I want to talk to you about weekly routine. Now, what we see in this weekly routine, not only do we see that God chose a specific task for each day, and he didn't try to do it all at once, but we also see the importance of taking one day of rest with the Sabbath day. So God established the Sabbath day as holy. We see this concept sort of carried out all into scripture. It's a part of the Ten Commandments. It's the fourth commandment. And we see this pattern. We see this inside of the Ten Commandments, that the first commandments 1 through 3 are all about worshiping God. The fourth commandment is the Sabbath rest, and the Sabbath rest is a gift for you. It's for you to receive, okay? So Exodus 16:29 says, they must realize that the Sabbath is the Lord's gift to you. Mark 2:27 says this. This is Jesus speaking. The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of the people and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even over the Sabbath. And so the Sabbath is a gift, and it is for you. And so that fourth commandment is about receiving from God, resting and receiving from God. And then we see commandments 5 through 10 are all about like output, loving people, doing, you know, for people. Even when inside of the New Testament, when they came to Jesus and they said, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And in that, we see that pattern. Love God, love yourself, love your neighbor. Now, that makes some people uncomfortable because they think, well, people already love themselves enough or whatever. I'm talking about receiving agape love from God, resting to get that refreshment. Now, here's what I want you to see. Sabbath is a gift. And because it's a gift, while God has given it to you, you must choose to open it. And it is actually one of the greatest gifts that you could ever give to your family or to your coworkers or to whoever it is that you're around. Because when you carve out time for input, you'll have what you need for output. And you know what else is beautiful about the Sabbath? Is that it's really a release of self-reliance. It's really saying, God, I trust you with my time. And when you are called to create, you need room and space to create. And the Bible tells us inside of the Gospels that Jesus often healed on the Sabbath. Taking time to rest. And listen, let me tell you something. There was a time in my life where I did not take time to rest for myself. I desperately needed it and I wanted it, but I never felt like I could tell people no. And so I would like start getting mad at my family. You know what I mean? Because I was so tired. So really, if you're expecting other people to give you permission, God is like saying, look, I'm inviting you to open up the gift of Sabbath. I've made that day holy. Open it up and find rest. Now, you might be saying to me, Eileen, I have toddlers in my house. How can I find rest, right? Or whatever it may be. Jesus says he is Lord of the Sabbath. And because he is Lord of the Sabbath, you can pray and ask him, Lord, for this season in my life, how can I carve out time during the week to rest and get refreshed? Because that piece, that is an important part of God's rhythm. And it is in rest that we find strength to do all that God has called us to do. So the weekly pattern of taking that rest. All right, now I want to talk to you about the yearly rhythm found in God's season. Now this I am super excited about. Because what I see inside of Scripture, what I see is that with God's seasons inside of Scripture, that he calls his people to pause and to celebrate, consecrate, and consider their lives. That when you look at the feasts inside of the Old Testament, and whether it's Passover or Yom Kippur, there's a purpose in having those dates on a yearly calendar for reflection and renewal and remembrance. And that's why Jesus said, do this, when he was speaking of communion, do this in remembrance of me. And the reason why this is so very important is because the enemy is also setting up memorials to remind you of everything that's wrong in the world, right? I mean, all we have to do is turn on the news, right? to see that. And so that's why God calls us to remember, because it's easy for us. He knew as humans, it's easy for us when we see all the hurt and the pain that's going on inside of the world, we can forget about his faithfulness or maybe even quietly question it inside of our hearts. And so other people can throw labels on us. And while we would love to say sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me, they do. And so we find ourselves frustrated and we find ourselves finding ourselves just running through life. But what I saw this week, and it's not necessarily inside of the creation story, this is really all over Scripture, is that God calls his people to pause, to remember, and reflect. When the Israelites crossed over the Jordan, one of the very first things that God told them to do was to set up memorial stones. Why? So that they could remember. When he got them over, one of the first things that he did was celebrate the Passover, right? It was essential. And it is essential for us to reflect and remember. Another goal planning tool that I use is something that Laura Casey has developed, and it is not a spiritual planner, but it's not a spiritual planner. It's a secular company, but she is a believer. And I think that there's many biblical principles intertwined into her goal setting. And one of the things, and I've just used it for the very first time this year. And what I loved about it is that she walks you through goal setting by asking you a series of questions. And the questions that she asked made me stop and really consider my life. Like, for example, what fears do I have that I need to let go of? What things am I spending my time on that need to go? See, part of the celebrations and the feasts, they were also for consecration, so that we could make room for God's empowerment inside of our life. And so what I see is that, you know, sometimes we say, oh, that's Old Testament jargon and blah, blah, blah. I don't need to do that because I'm a believer. But you know what I see? I see a beautiful rhythm that God establishes to even our yearly calendar. And that brings me to our next point, that we are getting ready to launch into a new series where we're going to be looking at the Gospel of John and talking about Passover. And so learn with me about these yearly rhythms by joining us for that journey. Because I'll admit, I do know a lot about daily quiet time, and I do have that in my life. But do I do yearly? Am I pausing to reflect and remember according to God's rhythm? And see, here's what happens. Because it's not about chasing your calling. It's about chasing God and being inside of his presence. And it's through abiding that you bear fruit. And by creating, by returning to these daily, weekly, and yearly rhythms that God has outlined, that is when we will find the time to invest our time wisely. Not just to find time by stopping, but learning how to invest it. In other words, if I take time to ask myself, what are things that I need to work on and what needs to go, and or, you know, what goals do I have? If I don't take time to do that, then what I'm doing is I'm running according to somebody else's rhythm or something or someone, and I don't stop. God's rhythm gives us that permission to pause, to pull into his presence, to tap into his power, and to gain his divine plan for our day, for our week, and for our year. Sinking your life to God's rhythm is the solution for time management. And I want to challenge you to pick one thing. Maybe you want to start by praying and asking God, Lord, in this season in my life, when can I take a Sabbath rest for the week? And then committing to that. Maybe it is that you want to start to cultivate that daily quiet time. And maybe you just start with 5 minutes. And if you want to do that and you want to have a guide to help you with that, I want to invite you to go to our 21-day challenge because that's the purpose of that, is helping you to cultivate that daily quiet time. And then with this idea of getting into the rhythm, the yearly pattern, maybe it is that God wants you to pause in the spring when Passover is, when we are looking at the resurrection of Christ, for a time where you look in and remember and reflect all that that season means, so that you can become all God has created you to be. Now, if you're interested in learning more about this yearly rhythm and Passover and all of that, that's going to be in the podcast to come. I'm going to be diving into that topic. And I'm not going into it a lot today because this is new to me. I'm learning more and more about this, and I cannot wait to apply these principles to my life. So I'm super excited and hope that you will join me. So remember, the struggle to find time to invest in what matters most is often frustrating because while we're busy, we're not fruitful. And it's only when we return to God's rhythms to build daily, weekly, and yearly routines that we establish consistent actions to prosper our purpose. Creating the consistency to cultivate your calling happens when you return to God's rhythm for your life and invest your time wisely. Thanks so much for joining in today. Hey, if you have enjoyed this podcast, would you be willing to share it with a friend? We love the word of mouth that Treasure Ministries is getting, and we're growing. And we thank you for helping us do that. In fact, yesterday, a woman who is a pastor from Pakistan emailed us, and that was very exciting. And so would you be willing? And that happens. That happens through word of mouth. It happens with you spreading it. And so I just pray, if this has been a blessing to you, that you would share it with a friend who you think would enjoy it also. Thanks so much for listening in, everybody, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.